Rise and Strike. Rodolfo Castiglione peered unhappily through the rain-streaked window of the London hotel room. "What a miserable climate," he said unhappily. "No wonder the British built themselves a worldwide empire. Anything to get away from this cold and rain." Walter James Edgerton, sitting across the room relaxedly with his long legs crossed and his arms stretched across the back of the couch, took a more conciliatory attitude. "Oh, I don't know. The rain makes the flowers grow." Castiglione turned and scowled at Walt. "We have plenty of flowers in Calabria. Flowers need sunshine, too." Walt conceded the point with a nod. Then, "You didn't drag me here to London to discuss the weather." "I didn't drag you anywhere," Castiglione replied. "I ordered you here." "So here I am. Why?" "We need to see some results about Jordan Kell."
"We?
I presume you mean Anita Halleck."
"Precisely so. This would-be assassin of yours is a total failure."
Walt swung his arms down and sat up straighter on the couch. "I've got to admit, young Mr. Motrenko has disappointed me."
"He's useless," Castiglione complained.
Shaking his head, Walt countered, "No, he's an idealist. I told you that some time ago." Before Castiglione could reply, Walt went on, "And we badly underestimated Kell. It was a stroke of genius taking the lad under his wing. I'm afraid our boy Nick has been contaminated." His face showing utter disdain, Castiglione headed for the minibar built into the wall below the room's holographic viewer. Walt continued, "Kell has given Nick what the lad so desperately wanted, a place in the sun. His blog is watched worldwide thanks to Kell's appearing on it almost every day."
"You sound as if you approve of what's happening."
"I admire talent wherever I find it," said Walt. "And Kell is a very talented man. He's made an adult out of Nick, and something more. He's given Nick someone to admire, someone to emulate, a father figure."
"Which means Motrenko is useless to us. He'll never assassinate Kell now."
Clasping his hands together almost prayerfully, Walt admitted, "I'm afraid you're right." Castiglione opened the minibar, yanked out a split of red wine, frowned at the label, then kicked the bar closed again. "Not to your liking?" Walt asked, barely suppressing a grin.
"None of this is to my liking. Halleck is on my neck night and day. She wants Kell removed, and your would-be assassin has failed us completely."
"Fortunes of war," said Walt philosophically.
"Kell's got to be put out of the way."
"You've got the resources of the World Council behind you," Walt said. "Why not simply get a few military experts to stage a phony terrorist attack?" The unopened wine bottle still clutched in his hand, Castiglione shook his head.
"Too many people involved. Something that shocking would be investigated. Someone would crack."
Walt agreed. "There's always a weak link in every conspiracy. It's like old Ben Franklin said. Three people can keep a secret. If two of them are dead..." Castiglione did not laugh. Instead, he said darkly, "The job has to be done by us."
"Us?"
Walt felt a pang of alarm. "You and me. No one else involved." "I'm not an assassin."
"But you will be," Castiglione insisted.
Stunned, Walt watched the Italian go back to the minibar, grab a stemmed glass, and start to unscrew the wine bottle's cap. And he realized that if he helped Castiglione murder Kell, his next victim would be Walter James Edgerton. Dead men tell no tales.